But thank you, worship team, for being there. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. And if you find Isaiah, Jeremiah, keep flipping, you'll find Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22. I'm going to continue on this message on return. Like, as we return together here, there's areas that we need to return to individually and also corporately. When it comes to prayer, churches need to pray. People need to pray. Can I get an amen? God said, I'll do apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, all things are possible. And I know that we're on the earth, the Holy Spirit is here with us. But there's also a mandate for the church to fulfill. How many of those that he wants us to reach the world? How many of those an angel could do a better job at it? But the truth is that he's not looking for angels to do it. He says, you're going to be my best bet. You're going to be it. So I'm going to empower you by my Spirit to do something that's going to reach a world in these days. We need to be about our Father's business. As we come back in doing more business, we need to be about our Father's business. And in Ezekiel 22, I'm going to look at verse 30. It says this, I sought for a man among them that they should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Notice that he's seeking for somebody to intercede. Our country needs intercession. Come on. There's been a lot of injustices done in this land. There's no doubt about it. We can't hide from it. We have to speak it. We have to start looking and say, we need healing in our land too. I said we need healing in our land. Across the board. It's like one of the things that I was concerned about was this. Is that since so many people were home working, that corporations are looking, saying, hey, we can cut down our workforce because this is working for us. I already know of two companies that are massively laying off individuals because they feel they don't need them anymore. How many knows that's a ripple effect? How many knows that'll affect down the road? The truth is that we need God to heal our land across the board. But churches, we can't look to the world for our answers. We have to look to God. We have to look to His Word and say, God, what do you want to do and what do you want to say in these days? We have to start focusing our attention back on Him. If you just put it on man, you're going to miss it. It's like putting your GPS with the wrong coordinates. Sooner or later, you're going to find out you missed the mark. And you guys know, 1 degree off on your GPS, imagine that in 100 miles. Say amen. And it's not infallible either, true? There's been some times I'm like, no, this is a better way than that. Come on. But how many knows that when we're locked into Jesus, we won't miss it? I've learned that it's a narrow path that leads to life, but it's well traveled if you look. Now, how many have ever been camping out in the woods and you found trails that have been used heavily? You ever notice that there's a path there? That sooner or later, there's a little rut or an area you can tell more than one person has walked it. It's that way when it leads to life. When you find that path, you're not the only ones on it. There's been millions of people that have went before us, possibly billions that have went before us. But I've learned this, that God gives you enough illumination for the next step. And when life gets to a fork in the road, it's a good time to, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lead me in paths of righteousness. But I've learned that if you're walking with Him on a steady pace, when you get to an area where you don't know, you can start to listen to that still small voice. This is the way, walk in it. Say amen. Notice in Scripture, He's looking for men and women to stand in the gap. We can't complain about anything if we're not praying people. If we're not seeking the Lord for change, then you know what? We're not changing the problems. I believe the Lord is able to speak a word and work through the church, members in particular. We need to start to have prophetic words over this country, what God needs and what God wants. Lord, it's our duty to pray. He said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. Notice that there's a gap there. There's an area that we have to. All of us in this room need to make up a hedge. That's a strong place. Stand in the gap for the land. If the churches don't come together and pray, not only corporately but individually, we're missing the mark. We have to start bombarding heaven. We have to start seeking the Lord. Because I really feel that no matter what's going on in the land, God can still bring a revival to the land. And we need revival in the land. We need God to work in every heart. Say amen. How many knows that this life is truly short? It's here for a short time. And the sad part is, he could find none. Can you imagine God looking to somebody to stand in the gap, and I couldn't find somebody? That breaks my heart. That it is possible that we can have a relationship with the Lord and not even be used by the Lord. We can go through the motions religiously, but never spend time relationally. We can ask all the prayers for ourselves, but never for the land. Come on, we need to start looking at that and say, God, I'm going to stand in the gap. And that can be done in your home. That can be done in your car. If you have a moment at your workplace, you can pray anytime, anywhere, any place. There is no limit on when you can pray. Now, obviously, if you have a job, you're going to do your job. But I found out if I pray a little bit while I'm working, my work gets better anyways. I'm not stopping saying, hey, I got to pray for a while. I'm not doing anything. No, you can keep working. Amen? How many knows your car can be an altar with the Lord? Some of you have great devotions there, have something going on. You can take advantage of every area. But what if just Lighthouse Church, I'll just look at us for a minute. What if we prayed, God heal our land? Would God answer from this area and touch our land? Then we need to do it. I want everyone to do it, but I'm not responsible for that. Then we have to do it. If we know to do good and we don't, to us it's sin, no matter what it is. I'm not talking about failing morally or doing this or this. I'm talking about spiritually God saying, hey, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He's still looking today. He wants to move in this land. But how he moves is the Holy Spirit enables. He changes hearts. But how can they hear if somebody doesn't share? The Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? Well, you've all been nominated. Say amen. How many knows today more than ever, our land needs healing? I said our land needs healing. And first, oh, how many heard a voice change? See, I'm getting younger every year. I am. I'm finally going through puberty. Praise the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this, I exhort you first that supplications and prayers and intercession and giving thanks be made for all men. In verse 2, 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, for kings and all that are in authority. Our duty is to pray that we can live a quiet and peaceful life. How many want that? With all godliness and honesty. If you could live a quiet and peaceful life with all honesty and godliness, that's a great life, no matter what you amass. But notice that prayers and supplications and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then we need to pray for all men. We need to have that intercession time. That alone will fill your prayer time up. Many of you know this scripture in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Notice that it isn't looking for the world to do this. He says, if my people, and it goes to a greater level, who are called by my name, Christian, Notice the first step for God ever to move is humility. Humble yourself. Do you know one of the areas that will help America is if people start to look at others and treat them better than themselves. Instead of this selfish society we have, if we look out and say, I'm going to treat you better than myself. I mean, that's putting others before yourself. We need a whole new dose of that today. That we put others better than ourselves. Come on, we live in a selfish society. If my people who are called by name shall and pray, humble yourself and pray. Notice you not only get into the posture, you're like, Lord, we need you. I need you. Forgive me. It may not be your fault, a certain thing that's going on, but we still need to repent. Lord, forgive us. Amen. The church also, Lord, forgive us the things we haven't done. Forgive us, Lord. He says, I will do a great work. I love this. It says, I humble myself, I pray, and then I seek his face. That's more than just talking. That's an actively pursuing him with all that you got. I'm going to pursue after God. Amen? Now, how many in here, now social media is so different than when I was growing up, and many of you. If you got a phone number for somebody, that usually was the first step after you met them. True? How many remember the super long cord that used to go and the phone would be on the wall and you'd stretch it around and shut the door? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The super long one, right? You had one phone, then all of a sudden call waiting came, remember? All of a sudden you could get two calls at one time. Woo! But the truth is that was much of the communication. How many remember pay phones? I used to use a pay phone. Sometimes, oh Lord, that thing needs some cleaning, amen? There's no doubt about it. It's amazing what we experienced in life already. True? Just have a little baby in your house and see how many they pick up everything and put it in their mouth. God's protecting a lot of us in a lot of ways. But I've learned that it's communication, but when you really wanted a relationship, you had to pursue it. You had to let it known, and the other person had, well, we need to do that with the Lord. We need to start to pursue him hard. I don't care how long you've been saved. We need to pursue him hard. Because not only is it go past prayer, it's seeking his face. He says, listen to me. Here's what I want you to do. If you will do this, I will do this. Do we want that church? Do we want our land healed? Woe unto any man or woman that wants to destroy a country or a nation. Because God will hold you accountable for that. That's a whole different world. But we have to look and say, if I humble myself and I seek his face, I pray, and then I turn from my wicked ways. Notice he's talking to the church. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You may get a lot of big areas done, but how many of us, the Lord still wants to deal with that? How many here have ever had the Lord say, I want you to deal with that? That's a good thing. He'll gently nudge you in that area. And you know what? If you judge you, you won't be judged of another because nobody knows you like you. And the only time God's going to speak a correcting word through another servant is when you won't listen. Amen. Then he'll do it lovingly and gently. That's how it needs to be done. Amen? I may want to just be corrected by the Lord. Because when the Lord disciplines you, he knows how to do it. Like every child, some may take it differently. I needed a whooping. Was there anybody like me growing up? How many got into some trouble growing up? You broke this, did this. Some of you are going, yeah. Aren't you glad you had kids just like you? Praise the Lord. But notice what it says here. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says that if you turn from your wicked ways, then, somebody say then. There's been a lot of words spoken. I've seen every religion talk to a deity somewhere, but I want him to hear. Because if he hears, he'll answer. And all through the Old Testament, when they made idols, even God himself, that's what I appreciate about the Lord's personality. Can your God hear? Maybe he's out to lunch while you make a God that looks just like you. You fashioned it out of stone and wood. Say amen. How many of us that even God knows that he, what is that? You're talking about the God of the universe. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? When he fashioned us, he didn't go, oh my gosh, how am I going to connect the head to the body? Ooh, that's a biggie. How am I going to make an eye work? Aren't you glad that he already knew? That's the God that we serve. How about this? I'm going to give you a ceiling that it's going to be incredible. I'll fill it with planets for you. Can you imagine what it looked like for Adam and Eve before any pollution, before anything? That they called the moon the lesser light. It was so bright, it brought a cascade of light over the land. You've seen full moons. You've seen how it, could you imagine without anything anywhere? All that I created for you because I love you. I want to make you in my image. And then I'm going to do one step greater. I'm going to breathe in you the breath of life, the pneumos of God. You're going to come alive. Can you imagine when Adam stood up and he looked and saw his creator? What a deal that is, amen? One day, we're going to have the same experience that Adam had before sin. He's going to restore all things. That's going to be wonderful. For right now, he wants to heal our land. He says this, I will hear from heaven. Somebody hear from heaven. Forgive your sins, then heal your land. The church will walk in more forgiveness, more humility, and then that will transcend into a world. When the church starts to walk humble before their God, starts to pray as we should, starts to focus our prayers like we should, God said, I'm going to do something incredible that you've never seen before. That's across the board. Church, are we willing to meet these obligations? I want to be there. Amen? Humility puts you to the place where like, Lord, that's me. That means it needs to start, and it doesn't start tomorrow, it starts today. Today, humble yourself. Today, seek his face. Today, we've called today, this is the Lord's day. Now, we meet on Sunday, so then spend some time today seeking his face. He'll give you time to enjoy the day. He'll give you time to do this, but we need to seek him. I've learned this, the more I have to do, the better time I need to pray. He'll arrange a whole lot more. How many have the Lord just arrange things? All taken care of. That's a great day. And I've had days it would have been better if I just stayed in bed. I've had days like that. This fell apart. This didn't work. This is here. It's like I was six steps behind. But you still muscle through those days. Is this good preaching today? How many want to see your land healed? Then the church starts to walk in more forgiveness. We forgive those who trespass against us. Hello? As the Lord's forgiven us. It's a whole new level to walk in. Notice there's no pride in that. You're seeking the Lord. The church needs to be that. I struggle when people walk in so much pride. It's like it radiates from them. Well, you know what? We have to be humble people. We have to prefer others better than ourselves. Isn't that what Jesus did? He always took the low road. And since he did, he's exalted amongst the heavens. That's why when I look at every religion outside of Christ, every person will stand before him and confess he's Lord. Everyone. Now, when I was in school, I enjoyed history. I did. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd probably be a history teacher. I really enjoyed history. I enjoyed seeing the things in Egypt, the Nile, and the tombs and all that. And one thing I was fascinated is that all their stuff stayed in the tomb. They could never enjoy it in the afterlife. Then I began to look in history. Egypt had an opportunity to repent of their sins because Israel was right in their land. The church was in the land of the world, and all they did was persecute it and told it to leave. And what they ended up with was just themselves and lost. Today in the land, the church is still here. If the world does not listen, it will be lost and one day perish. Amen? So you can't take the stuff with you. That's a great thought. I'm preparing myself for the next life. You have to prepare this for the next life. That spirit man. It goes back to God who gave it. And here's the truth. This body isn't good enough for heaven. It's earthy. It has limitations. One day God will give you a body likened unto Christ. Won't that be awesome? Talk about superhero stuff. The door was locked and Jesus came in the room. Said peace. I mean, it's pretty awesome. Well, could he eat? Oh yeah, they're at the shoreline. What are you making? He's cooking them up some fish. And then one day he appears to 500 at once. Then he slowly ascends. Doesn't say there's guide wires there. Hook him up, pull him up, pull him up, pull him up. Angels weren't up there going, come on, oh, it's getting tired. He gained a little weight. He slowly ascended. Notice that the atmosphere did not affect him, no matter where he was at. Nor was he limited by the time and the space. That's a pretty cool body, wouldn't you say? I want that body. That's why this one can only take you to the grave. It's just fleshly. It's earthy. But one day you'll get one likened unto Christ. With that new spirit, you have been born again with a new body. You'll be able to do whatever God wants you to do forever. No sickness, no disease, no decay. Isn't that cool? And for me, this body would blow up because you'd be so happy. You'd just like explode. You'd be so happy. So you need a good foundation. Hallelujah. How many of us, that's not far from any one of us? Come on. If we all just lived another 100 years, what is that compared to forever? It's just a vapor. And too many times we're so focused in on just the here and now. We need to look up our redemption. But as church members, as people of God, we need to get back to praying and seeking His face. He'll heal our land. What would a land look like that's been healed by the Lord? Wouldn't that be incredible? I had a vision about 4 years ago that the Lord came down into cities and it was decayed and broken and windows and things were boarded up and it was just terrible. But when the Spirit of God invaded in, it's like it changed. How many ever seen a movie go from like black and white to color? Where they fade in the colors? That's what the vision looked like. It's like wherever God's people and the message was going forth, it was restoring the land. And I stood there in this vision and I marveled. It's like, go, Lord. I need somebody to stand in the gap. It's like each one had its portion. And as the people of God did what God wanted to, wherever they went, that portion restored. But it didn't go beyond that. But as they moved, it restored. How many of those, he sought for somebody to heal. These scriptures came to life in my spirit. Church, we have a vital part today. We have a vital part in bringing the restoration God wants. Well, who am I in all this? I'm just this. You're somebody that can stand in the gap. He didn't ask you for all your qualifications. He qualifies you because He called you. He just wants your availability to be there. But our heart needs to be after Him. Amen? Do you know you can bring restoration at your workplace to some other place? Say amen. How many knows the Lord can work on a heart? How did you ever get saved? How did you get saved? How did the Lord ever reach you? And if God reached you, everybody else is easy. How many ever been away from the Lord? You were backslidden. Coming back's a miracle. How did God ever reach you? Somebody prayed for you. Then don't give up on people. I've met people in the last couple weeks that said this to me, Pastor, I've been at home and I could sense somebody was praying for me. And I knew that I just needed to get my life right again. Can God do that? Church, we need that. That's healing the land. That's start looking at, say, you know what, I'm going to prefer others better than myself. That's saying, Lord Jesus, I'm going to humble myself and seek your face. I'm going to just repent of my wicked ways. That healing to our land can come. I'm not looking for everybody to do it, even though I'd like them to do it. I want us to do it. Not that we're more special than anyone else, but somebody has to lead the way. It's not what's just on the marquee out front, what's the spotlights on today, look at us. No, it's people that are humbly seeking their God. That's good preaching today, Pastor. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for this, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Listen, we need to return to peace and joy today. I know what's going on in the land. My head isn't in the sand. But as believers, we need to return to some peace and joy that comes from the Lord. Here's how God thinks about us. And listen, if you're not thinking this way, I want you to change your thinking. Sometimes you're so hard on yourself. You wish you had this talent or looked like this or did this. God made you like you. He wants you like you. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. That should get our attention. God speaking. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. He's looking at you saying, I have something for you far greater than you can imagine. And Lord, that's your thoughts towards me. I want those thoughts. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's the father of all lies. And if you listen to the enemy at all, he's going to lie to you. 1% off is still a lie. It may sound good, but it's still a lie. And the ultimate deception is this, the word of God twisted. That's why you got to know the scriptures. And the spirit behind it. Because even Satan quoted the word of God to Jesus. But he was doing an tempting thing. Just go to the top of the building. Jump off. Angels will protect you on your way down. That is scriptural. But God didn't tell him to go on top of the building. Don't get your information from the enemy. Don't follow that instruction. Oh. Amen. It's like if you got a perfectly good parachute on yourself, why would you jump out of a plane without it? Oh, God's going to protect me on the way down. If he didn't say that, you're splat. You'll meet him real quick. I don't know how many seconds it takes to fall that fast, but I know you're going to meet him real quick. Say amen. Amen. And no one can say, well, Lord, you told me to jump out without a parachute. He'll go, did I? Amen. Now, can he protect you? Absolutely, but that's a spoken word. That's something God took over. I only know of one individual. When my mother was alive, she knew of some missionaries that they were going to another area, and it was real remote, and their plane started to have problems. How many have ever been in a two-seater or four-seater plane? It's kind of scary anyways. Anyways, the motor started having problems mid-flight, and there was nowhere to land. Jungle, you name it. And they prayed, Lord, get us to an airstrip. And just then, the propeller went straight up in the middle. And they were gliding. And they said, Lord, just get us there. And they glided all the way till they found an airline, airport, and went down. How many think they had a little celebration? God brought a breeze to help them along. Hallelujah. Can he do that? Absolutely, he can do that. But that's not tempting the Lord either. You're not saying, hey, Lord, if you're Lord, do this. That's placing things in your own hands. And if God didn't say it, he's not backing it. That's where people try to put his name on something. If he's not saying it, he's not backing it. But if you agree with him in conversation, according to his word, you'll have what you ask. Oh, that is unbelievable preaching. Sorry, I had to get a little movement there. In Psalm 47, verse 1 says this, clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That's scriptural. I've been in churches where they don't want you to clap or shout or do anything. You sit there and you be quiet. That is reverence. Don't make a sound, or we'll come along with our ushers and say, pipe down. I'm here to tell you, heaven's going to be a noisy place. Isn't that cool? I mean, we have something to shout about. We have something to dance about. Now, I can't break it down too good, but the truth is that we have something to shout about. We have something to rejoice in our God. I mean, those rejoicing in Him, praising Him, worshiping Him breaks the bonds, breaks the chains. We need that also. Amen? I've seen this where if you don't see victory in your prayer time, add some fasting to it. Be obedient. And then put some praise on it. Get some worship working in it. Get those ingredients in your prayer. You'll see things open up. You'll be able to endure to while you're doing it too. That's the good part. We're very impatient people. I want it yesterday. Anybody like me? But Lord, help us. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. Are you enjoying today? Isn't God good? Somebody say God's good. I'll close with this morning. In Proverbs 10, verse 28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Notice the hope of the righteous will be gladness. But I want you to know that the end of the wicked will not be what they expect. And today there's this big old thing that, well, if they pass away, they're in a much better place. If they don't know Jesus, they're not. It's the worst day of their life. And it just started. We have to know our God. Sometimes people put the wish out there. We need to know. We need to know He's real. That's why if I do a funeral for somebody that doesn't know the Lord, I'm really looking. There are times where it's extended family will ask, we don't have a pastor, will you help? I'll do it. I like to know the individual. That's much greater. But I look for things. Did they go to church somewhere? Did they have a pastor? I'm looking for just something godly there. And when it's no, 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 it's hard to do a funeral like that. Because you want to be comforting for the family, but you also need to speak the truth in love. How many understand that? So the Lord's got to gift you in those things and help you along in that. And there's been one time where during the middle of a funeral, I could just tell I couldn't find anything that related back to Christ. And the Lord spoke a word to me. That individual's passed on to where they're going. What about you that are alive and remain? And I preached a message there. I can't change that individual's stance, but what about yours? Do you know heaven's your home? And God's Spirit flooded the place. Amen? There was people that were angry, and there were people that were weeping, all in the same group. How many of us, the Holy Spirit will work in people's hearts? Some will resist it like a wasp. Others like bee to honey, they want what God has. Your job is not to look at their response, but to speak the truth in love. Too many times we're so worried about what somebody's going to say. Well, they're going to say it anyways. But there may be that one person that's been waiting to hear, and you may be the message. You may be the messenger for that. This particular funeral, four people came up to me after, says, Pastor, I've been away from the Lord, and God touched me back there. I need to get my life right. Say amen. That there may have been a destructive thing with the death, but life came out of that. Then live for the Lord. Church, I want to see this world changed. How many want to see it? Like you, I have prayed for revival in our lifetime. And I'm holding on to that. I'm not limping out of here. I'm not just gathering together and say, well, this is all there is. Let's just be together and happy. No, I want to see God do something that He always wanted to do. Then we need to follow His rules and His ways. If we do, He'll fulfill His obligation. Are you with me, church? Can we return to this? Then I charge you this week to spend some time in prayer. Would you do that? Some time to consecrate, to cover your family. Cover them. What I like to do is this, and I'll show you insight in my prayer time. that when I pray for an individual, the Lord at times will make your faces pass before me. And I will pray that until that moves on, until another individual takes that gap. That's how I know I'm praying for you effectively. Now, that doesn't have to always happen. But can you think about how many have a son or daughter? Can you picture their face? Then pray for them. How about somebody in this room? Can you pray for them? That means you're taking that time for intimacy, and the Lord may drop something in your heart for them. Pray for them. Don't have to be broadcasted. Pray for them. That's what the Lord does for me as a shepherd. Here's scripture for it. He'll make all my sheep pass before you. I understand that principle. Everyone who's a sheep here at Lighthouse, the Lord will cause you to pass before me. Isn't that cool? I'm not lifting myself up, but the world has forgotten and the church has forgotten the importance of shepherds over congregations. We've lived so independent that we don't care. Thank God for that. That means He's covering things behind the scenes. He's removing things that you don't need to know about. He's changing things. That's a good thing. I'm just going to speak it like it is. That's a good thing. Then Lord, pray for me. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to pray for somebody else. That means you're laying down your life. If you'll pray for somebody else, you're laying down your life instantly. That's rewarded territory. Can we do it, church? Well, let's do it for one another. There should be 100 people praying for each other. Let's do it. There's power in that. Amen. Power for victory. Power to do whatever we need to. Power for health. I want to see Pat Vest walk in here under her own power. Amen. Will you pray for that? Just one touch from the Master. Her heart's there. Lord, bring it physically. Amen. Anyone in here, you need a physical touch as we close. Would you lift your hands towards heaven? I'm going to speak a healing word here. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring healing virtue to your people. Lord, whatever the ailment is from head to toe, change it now in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no hold nor authority to operate. These are God's people. We cancel every work of the enemy. And Lord, we speak the victory now that by your stripes we are healed. Touch now, Holy Spirit. And I want you to reach out by faith. Whatever area you need to touch him. Father, work in these situations. And Lord, we pray for our nation. Heal our land. We humble ourselves today. Lord God, we pray and seek your face. Lord, forgive us of all our sins. Lord, then you said you'd heal our land. Heal our land, oh God. And Lord, bless your people today with strength and power. Keep each one strong. That Lord, we learn to live a quiet and peaceful life. Lord, with all gentleness and goodness, let that be our portion this week. Now bless your people as they go, Lord God. Meet every need in their home and bring us back in that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen.